Okay. Let's call the meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it's 1:05 on Thursday, March 19th. Welcome to House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. Present are Representative Dew, Representative Grunberg, Representative Tuck, Representative Hughes, and Bob Heron. We do have a quorum. The only business today is HB 6, Employment Preference for Veterans. And the title says Veterans and Spouses, but the sponsor will explain the change. Representative Ledoux, can you move the end version of the new CS, please?
Yes, I move CS for House Bill number 6. 29-LS0042/N for purposes of discussion.
No object for that discussion. Just for information, as the sponsor will explain, is the E version, the ECHO version, is no longer. Representative Tuck and staff, could you please come to introduce yourselves and provide us with the testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Chris Tuck, representing District 19 in South Central. Now it's District 23, South Central Anchorage. And with me is my staff, Kendra Kloster. The difference between the version E and the version N is that the new version has taken out domestic partners and spouses. And the reason for that is in the Human Rights Commission, they have specific hiring preferences. And we don't want to put marriage in there as a means of having a hiring preference, because that will violate the Human Rights Act.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Just a quick addition. Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. And from the original version of House Bill 6 to our new CS, we have expanded the definition of veteran. Just in the drafting process, we inadvertently left off National Guard, which we meant to include. So just that's the other expansion, is to make sure we include our National Guard in this legislation as well.
Let the record reflect that Representative Colbert joined us a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
Any other testimony you want to provide?
Not from one version to the other version, but if you want us to go ahead with the adoption of the bill. Okay. Okay, thanks again, Mr. Chair and committee members, for allowing us to present House Bill 6. What House Bill 6 does, it removes the barrier to employment for veterans. According to a 2012 survey of veterans from all areas, 64% of respondents said that they had a difficult time transitioning from military service to civilian life, and that attributed largely to employment challenges. As of 2014, June last, 2 years ago, nearly 600,000 veterans were unemployed, and the jobless rate for post 9/11 veterans was 6.4%, with young male veterans experiencing a jobless rate of more than 12%. And then during 2013, Alaska saw over 2,000 military personnel separate from service and return home, and the Department of Defense has stated they expect this number to rise in coming years. So we have a lot of people leaving the military here in Alaska. Many states are making great strides to improve veteran employment by removing professional licensing barriers and crediting military education experience. Here in Alaska, we did the same thing, and in that we included spouses with the occupation license as well. But with this bill, due to the fact that it's a hiring preference, the Human Rights Commission steps in, and so we're not able to afford that in this bill. However, employment ultimately depends on employers providing workforce opportunities. All of our 50 states plus the District of Columbia have awarded preference to veterans who are being considered for hire to a public position. What our bill does, House Bill 6, is to allow it for private employers as well. House Bill 6 will also allow optional veteran hiring preferences for private employers by taking advantage of an optional available under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. To date, 12 states have adopted similar legislation as supported by the United States Department of Defense. And looking at the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act 1964, which prohibits the veteran's preference, that Section 11 of the Act allows special rights, and that's what we're trying to do right here, is grant those special rights to our veterans. We have 12 states that have adopted this so far. The federal government has incorporated veterans' hiring preferences since the Veterans Preference Act of 1944. I'm also serve on the Alaska Electrical Training Trust, and we have a federal program called Helmets to Hard Hats. And we've been doing that for over 10 years for allowing veteran preference into our training programs. And we have found in the Helmets to Hard Hats programs that in bringing military personnel for training, they're ready to learn, they're ready to serve, and when they get out into the workforce, they're the ones that do it right the first time. And in the construction industry, it's really important for people to have those skills and abilities and be trained and be trainable. And as I have an apprentice working on a job with me, I basically only ask for two characteristics, and that's the willingness to learn, and the willing to do whatever it takes. And that's the qualities that we find coming into our apprenticeship program by having that military preference. They're responsible, they have a great attitude, and they're very productive, and they're able to make quick decisions on the job. So what we're doing with here with House Bill 6 is expanding what we do already for public employees into the private businesses.
I guess you're available for questions now?
Yes.
What advantage is it for the private employer to self-designate?
To self-designate?
That's what it says, may grant an employment preference. So basically he's saying he does have a preference. What advantage is that for the private employer?
The advantage is that he will not be violate the Human Rights Act at all by hiring a veteran over another employee that might be applying.
Hmm. To think about it. Representative Ledoux?
So if this act was not passed, it's illegal under whose law to hire a veteran over somebody else?
Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. Representative Ledoux through the chair. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits a veteran's preference into private employers unless you were to adopt language similar into House Bill 6, which is allowing them to go ahead forward with that preference. You could be in a potential lawsuit if you do a hiring preference for veterans at this point for private employers.
Follow up?
Please.
So how come IBEW with its training program wasn't in doing something illegal?
That's part of the federal Helmets to Hard Hats programs, and they've been trying to do this nationwide for training. When it comes to employing somebody, there is no veterans hiring preference established right now. So an employer, a contractor who wants to hire this apprentice can't use a veteran's preference. All he has to do is take the next available apprentice that's to his list. And if it happens to be a veteran, then they can take that person, but they can't have that preference to go into his place of employment without this act.
Thank you. One more follow-up.
Please.
So I just want to see if I understand this correctly, that you've taken out spouses because to give a preference to a military spouse, although the feds wouldn't have any problems with that. Our law, as it currently stands, that's illegal?
Representative Ledoux through the chair. That's correct. There are four states that did include spouses in their legislation. However, for Alaska, under our Human Rights Commission, it does say that you cannot discriminate based on marital status. So in a phone conversation I had this morning, actually, with Legislative Legal, said that this has a potential to violate that if we include spouses.
Just one more follow-up.
Please.
So when you say the Human Rights Commission, have they enacted regulations? I mean, is there like a law in the books? Or?
Representative Ledoux through the chair, yes. Chapter 1880 is where we have that in statute, which says you cannot discriminate based on marital status. So following the advice of legislative legal, we did remove the spouses out of this legislation.
Thank you.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Just to follow up on that, are they or have they provided you a written opinion to that effect?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, no, I did not receive a written opinion. It was just brought to my attention this morning, actually, so they did not have time to do that, but they had drafted the new CS for us.
Okay. We'll talk further on that point.
Yes, Representative Hughes.
I have a question. I appreciate that conversation because that was really clarified something. This is more foundational, kind of going a little bit backward, but 40 states allow hiring preferences related to public employers, and is Alaska one of those 40 states?
And Representative Hughes, through the chair, yes, Alaska does do that, and corrected information that I got this week as well is actually all 50 states do it for public employees now.
Okay, and follow up?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I notice in this bill we're using the word may when it comes to the private employer. For the public employer, is it may or shall?
I don't know for the public. I've looked that up, but we try to model it after what we were doing already for our public employees, and we don't want to force someone to have to do it, just give them the choice to do it without violating the Human Rights Act.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. As I understand it, through the chair, as I understand it, the purpose for this bill is to comply with federal law. If we don't pass a state law, then we would be in violation of a federal law. Is that correct?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, no, we would not be in violation. Right now, what you can do under Section 11 of the Civil Rights Act is each state or local government can pass a law which says that we are allowed to do a veteran hiring preference. We would be in, private businesses would be in violation if they put a hiring preference in for veterans without a piece of legislation, but there's an enabling legislation within the federal government that says that we can go ahead and pass this bill and allow that preference to go forward, but you have to pass the bill.
Yes.
So, and as it is, unless we pass this bill, a private employer would violate federal law by doing this, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, it sounds to me, this is just a thought, it's separate from this bill, but maybe that federal law should be changed. And if this is now our policy in a bunch of states, maybe somebody should suggest that to the federal government. That sounds like an unfortunate piece of legislation. Through the chair, what do you folks think?
Well, that would be great. That would be a resolution. That's nothing that's beyond our control. This here is within our control right now, so we'd like to get the state of Alaska to start.
Through the chair, I'm talking about a resolution. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate that they have that.
Okay. Any other committee questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, we will go to public testimony. And I'll lift my objection. So we are talking about the N version, the new CS. Okay, we do have Zach Fields online. He's a special assistant to the Commissioner of Labor at Dragas, and we do have Mark Sansui from. He's in Tacoma, Washington, with the Department of Defense. Are you online, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Are you calling on me?
It says you do want to testify. If so, put yourself on the record, your affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Mark Sansusi. I'm a retired Air Force officer and the Department of Defense regional liaison for the Northwestern states, including Alaska, working for the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Military Community and Family Policy. I apologize, I cannot be there in person. This bill, HB 6, I will try and not be redundant from what I just heard from Representative Tuck and staff. The voluntary veterans preference issue is a new one for the Department of Defense state liaison office for 2015. We have learned that many private sector employers would like to hire veterans because of their unique skill sets, proven work ethic, and reliability, but are hesitant to do so out of the fear of being sued under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which you just discussed. We think that private employers are best suited in determining which skill sets are needed in their businesses. Since the public sector has accepted practices for veterans' preference in hiring in all 50 states, the language in HB 6 that allows private sector veteran preference policies parallel to those used by state and local governments will allow employers, private employers, to equitably compete for that veteran talent. While I said this issue is new for the Department of Defense, it is not a new issue for the National Conference of State Legislators. Many of you are involved with NCSL, and giving veterans preference is one of theirs and advocated by NCSL with their task force on military and veterans affairs. Representative Sadler has for years been on this task force doing some stellar work. And you also have heard that through the fine work that was instigated by NCSL, 12 other states are now providing this private sector protection. Certainly the need for your help is out there. The latest United States Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics data reported that the unemployment rate for veterans remains much higher in some cases and in some demographics than the general population. As recently as February 2015, that would be last month, the 18 to 24-year-old veterans' unemployment rate stood at 18.7% versus 11.6% for non-veterans, and the 25 to 34-year-old veterans' unemployment rate was 7.4% versus 5.7% for the non-veterans. We know that for the foreseeable future, you will continue to receive many new, highly trained veterans seeking to transition to civilian life in Alaska. Last year, as alluded to by Representative Tuck, according to the Defense Management Data Center, 2,126 people separated from the active duty reserves and National Guard components and called Alaska home. With the continued drawing down of the forces, that number should remain static or go even higher. So you will be seeing more new veterans with those unique skill sets, proven work ethic, and reliability I mentioned earlier. I might want to add that the training they received, you and I, have already paid for by paying our federal taxes. So with that, I'd like to thank Representative Tuck and thank this committee for taking this measure up, and hopefully you can move this forward and join the other states. And thank you for taking up this issue, and I stand for any questions. Thank you.
Yes, we do have one question. Representative Ledoux.
I'd like to ask you this question, Mr. Sansusi. Are you a lawyer to begin with?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I am not a lawyer. No, I'm not.
I'm just wondering if there's anybody, you or anyone else, that I can ask this question to. My understanding of employment law is that there are certain categories of people or groups that you can't discriminate against. So it's illegal to not hire a person based upon their race, based upon their religion, based upon their ethnic group, based upon their marital status, perhaps. But I didn't think that it was illegal to give a preference to somebody because you like they've got blonde hair, or they've got blue eyes. I mean, those just generally aren't suspect classifications. So I guess I'm wondering whether or not, under our current law, whether if somebody just wants to hire a veteran, whether that really is illegal.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, this issue bubbled up to us, and again, NCSL has been working this one for the last 2 or 3 years because, in fact, if a private sector company wants to hire veterans and has a preference policy, it can run counter to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, And because veterans are so overwhelmingly male, the United States Equal Opportunity Employment Commission interpreted many veterans' preference processes to have disparate impacts on women and other groups. So I'm not an attorney and can't address the broader issue, but this did get to the point where NCSL's working in and the Department of Defense embraced it, so private sector employers could voluntarily, and they don't have to do this, but voluntarily have a preference policy and not be in violation of a Civil Rights Act and be in alignment with the state law. That's the instigation of this. I'm sorry if that doesn't completely answer your question.
Actually, it gives me an idea. It must have been a veteran's preference must have been interpreted to have, as you said, an uneven or effect on women, which might have been a suspect category. So, thank you.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you. Mr. Sansusi, thank you for your testimony. It's been very helpful. I'd like to ask you, since both you and Ms. Kloster have mentioned, if we don't do this, it could violate, and I think it was, quote, Title 11 in the federal code. Is there a specific statute it would violate? And what does the statute say?
Through the chair, Representative Bloomberg, it's Title 7, Section 11 of the Civil Rights Act. And I'm sorry, I don't have the exact verbiage in front of me, but Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and I don't have my best practice paper in front of me, so I cannot cite it. I can get that to you, but I don't have the exact verbiage in front of me to give that to you.
May I follow through, please?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I would like that, please. We can talk. My staff is here. If you could give my office a call. What is your telephone number?
Through the chair, Representative Bloomberg, 571-309-4622.
Okay, so it's 571-309-4622. We'll talk further, and the reason is because it sounds to me like this is something that needs to be dealt with in every state. I don't see any reason why states would probably not want to look at this. And I happen to be on a committee, and so is another member of this committee. It's called the Suggested State Legislation Committee of the Council of State Governments. And if 12 states have done this, and we have a bunch of returning veterans who may need this to be done, maybe this or a similar statute needs to be brought to the attention of that committee to encourage other states to do it. And I'm putting that on the record for the folks here, and I'd like to talk with you about that and talk further with the bill sponsor.
Through the chair, Representative Bloomberg, yes, we are advocating for this in all the states, and Washington State was first, followed by Arkansas, Florida, Idaho, Iowa, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oregon, South Carolina, Virginia, who are now on board with this, and we are advocating this in all the states, and so is NCSL through their task force on military and veterans affairs. But, Title 7, Section 11 of the Civil Rights Act.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to pursue this to see what we can do.
So, thank you for your testimony, Mark, and we will now go to Anchorage. Russell Ball, are you online?
This is Russ Ball.
Please state your name and your affiliation for the record and begin your testimony, please.
My name is Russell Ball. I'm a business owner with ACB Solutions, which is a IT service provider here in Anchorage, and we do work throughout Alaska. We currently have veterans that work for us, and we have found them to be some of our top employees. They come to us with skill sets that we appreciate. They generally have very good decision-making abilities. They have good work ethics, and they're the type of employees that a small business like mine is always looking for. We would currently, as a small business, we're always scared to death to say that we want to come out and provide any kind of preference when recruiting or hiring. You know, our recruiting process comes from, you know, advertising and, you know, really trying to locate, you know, appropriate talent. And so, you know, for us, as a small businessman, without something like this that says that this is a legal practice, we would shy from, you know, including a veteran's preference within any of our advertising or marketing for positions. This would allow us to, you know, have that preference, be able to communicate that preference, and I think it accomplishes a couple of things. I think it's important that we let our veterans know how much they are appreciated. And by being able to say that we provide a preference, it sends that message that there is an appreciation for service. I think that it also allows me to try to attract the type of employee I'm looking for. And then, you know, a veteran who's, you know, transitioning from the military service to, you know, a civilian life and a civilian job, you know, I'm sure there's a, unlike other people that are looking for work or to better their work, there's a whole different transformation that's occurring. And it sends the message that we would, that we kind of understand the process and that we're working with them to help them through that transition. And it would obviously give, you know, a company like mine an advantage in being able to have the right kind of resumes come through for us to consider.
Okay.
And so that's really kind of my position, and I'm open for any questions you guys may have for me.
Thank you, Mr. Representative Grunberg.
Just wanted to thank you for your testimony. Very helpful.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Ball, for your testimony. Is there anyone else online? Okay, to the sponsor of the legislation, do you want Ms. Banner's testimony read included in the testimony?
Yes, please, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
We'll take care of that. Okay. Any? We will close public testimony. Return to the committee. Any final comments before the committee discussion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to point out one thing that we did find the language for the state's preference, and it's section 39.25.159 of the Employment Preference for Veterans and Former Prisoners of War. So they use the term shall, but what they use the term shall for is when scoring and assessing an applicant, that they shall score 5% preference, 5% of their score additionally for those who are veterans and 10% for those who happen to be prisoners of war in the past. So it doesn't say you shall hire them, but it does say you shall give them a preference score in those two conditions. And then I would also like to add, when talking about the helmets for hard hats program, I kind of like it that you're looking at a helmet as a guy in the military transitioning quickly to wearing a hard hat, both safety devices. So I appreciate that whole concept of helmets to hard hats. And for us, we give a preference, we give a direct entry for those who happen to have electrical experience in the military. And then we give direct interview for those who do not have electrical experience but do have military experience. And the reason why is because, again, these guys are great leaders. They lead by example. They're able to work with teams very well. They were trained with people from all over the states, all sorts of different geographical backgrounds, all sorts of different cultures, the race, genders. And so they're able to quickly mold in with other people and work together. And they are able to make quick, solid decisions and stand by those decisions. And as I said earlier, they are used to being trained. They understand the importance of training. They continue to train throughout their lives, and they like to do things right the first time. They tend to do that. Our success rate in bringing in military veterans into our apprenticeship program increases the success rate overall of the program because they never drop out of the program. They continue all the way through. They never get kicked out. They're the ones that are sought after most by the employers, and they're the ones that become foremen right away after leaving the apprenticeship school. So this is a way that our private employers outside of training can also benefit from those leadership, those teamwork qualities as they leave the military. And as Americans, we like to take care of those who take care of us, and why not do something for those that sacrifice so much for our behalf?
So it didn't come out in public testimony, but I'll just, so it's on the record, is if a private employer has two candidates, one's a veteran, one is not, they're equally qualified, this doesn't mean that they have to hire the veteran, does it?
No, it does not.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or discussion amongst the committee? Yes, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. I think it would also provide another benefit for employers, in that if this passes, they can't be sued for discrimination.
That's correct. To the chair.
So, Deputy Commissioner Dole, you didn't sign up, but just a nod of the head will be fine. Is that the department has no position on this?
Okay. That's correct. Thank you.
Just for the record. All right. Seeing no other committee discussion. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will say I appreciate you bringing this bill forward, and I'm surprised that we needed to take care of it, because I thought already we could give veterans a preference across the board, and the fact that an employer would be in a bad position if they didn't know that and put that preference out, and there may have been some in Alaska that have done that, I don't know, but I certainly think it's something we need to take care of, and I applaud you for bringing it forward, because I do want to see veterans in good positions in the private sector, and if this will help make that happen, I think they're a wonderful resource. And thinking about what we heard in the last hearing too, about how important it is for veterans to be productive, and that helps them with some of these other struggles, that the traumatic stress syndrome and things like that. I think this pairs along nicely with that, and I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Representative Grunberg?
And just to follow up on Representative Hughes' question, are you or is Mr. Sansusi, may I ask, Mr. Sansusi, are you on the phone still?
No. He is not.
Okay. Then I would ask Representative Tuck and Ms. Kloster, are you aware of any circumstance, either here or in any other state, where anybody has faced a lawsuit for this? The reason I'm asking is because of your question. And if there's a potential of somebody having done this and facing a lawsuit or anything like this, would we need to look at a retroactivity clause?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. I did ask that question actually to Mark Sansusi at Department of Defense, and actually checked in with NCSL, who's been working on this issue as well. And we're not aware of any lawsuits that are that have happened or are currently pending. This is kind of preemptive, but from what I understand, the businesses, and as Mark had said, they have not been putting in the hiring preference, and as Russ had said, that they are not doing that on the potential that they could have a lawsuit. So by allowing this to go through, they can go ahead and put that preference in. But at this time, no, not aware of any lawsuits.
I would just ask one final. If you hear of that as this bill progresses, maybe something like that could solve our problem here. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Madam Vice Chair, could I seek a motion from you?
Yes. I move CS for House Bill number 6, 29-LS0042/N, with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Any objection to that action?
Attached two zero fiscal notes.
Okay. Seeing no objection to that, we'll start. The committee will start signing the committee report, and our next meeting will be next Thursday, and we will begin House Bill 126, Code of Military Justice. It is our intent to hear from Lieutenant Forrest.
Dunbar.
Sorry about that. Forrest Dunbar will begin the hearing process next week. Same time, same place. It is 1:40. We're adjourned.